have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 76 of We Have a Hulk podcast. I'm Nicola.
And I'm Chris.
What are we going to be talking about in this episode then, Chrissy?
We're going to be reviewing Tomb Raider.
Yes.
And also that new film on Netflix, Annihilation.
Yes, which is intriguing because it's on Netflix in the UK, but in cinema in the US.
Yeah.
Which strange. Is a bit bizarre, isn't it? Strange. But this kind of leads into our Hulk topics for this week. Because we're going to be talking about where do you prefer to watch films? Because more and more films are now streaming directly to Netflix. Because Duncan Jones's latest film, Mute, came straight to Netflix.
Yeah.
And also Annihilation in the UK. So it's kind of an intriguing topic, I think.
Yeah, I think I can understand why both of those would come to direct to Netflix UK.
Yeah. Ooh, okay, why?
I don't know. I just feel like I feel like our population would probably be more annoyed if they saw them in the cinema.
Really?
Do you not think?
Okay.
I don't know.
Interesting. I definitely feel like we'll talk about this later anyway. But I feel like Annihilation is quite a Marmite film. So is Mute, I think.
Definitely. Mute was a strange film.
Yes. Mute was a... Did we talk about Mute?
Did we even talk about
I don't
Mute?
Even know.
But we're going to also be reviewing Mute very quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. And we've got an interview with Byron Mann, who played the first Kovacs on... Kovac. Kovac. Sorry.
Spelt Kovacs.
Yes. Weird. No. Why not put a H in there? Anyway, yeah. He played the first on-screen Kovac in Alter Carbon, and he's also going to be in Skyscraper with Dwayne Johnson.
I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of the whole thing. But
really?
Oh. No, I kind of like it. I like that kind of thing, you know. It's a bit sort of die-hardy, kind of over the top. It's a bit kind of 80s in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bring in that kind of... craziness to
disaster. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. So let's do a super quick at home with the Hulks because we haven't done this for a while because we've done quite a few Marvel minis lately. So Chris, what have you been up to in your spare time?
I have been in my shed. Suddenly the sun has started to come out a little bit, hasn't
it? Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's been snowing, but then there's been random days of sun as well, which is strange. I've been out in the shed. I've been screwing old bits of RAM to the wall.
Yep, as you do. You got, a new toy, didn't you?
I got a new Nitro car. A Nitro RC car, so I'm going to take that out the weekend. That's
going to
be fun.
I'm gonna go with him, but not be with him when he's playing with the car.
Yeah, safe distance where you can say, oh, I'm not with him.
Haven't you been playing with the drone as well?
I sort of set it up and stuff, but that drone it's big and it's fast and it just scares me a bit.
Is it more like a racing drone?
I think it's more like a racing drone, and I feel like if I took it out, I'd just drive it into someone's face. So I just don't.
Well, the last time we took it out, it was snowing, so.
I need to start with like a small drone or something and work up to it, I think.
You asked for that drone.
Yeah.
I went to MCM Birmingham Comic Con on the Saturday. Sunday, well, it snowed, so there were no trains on Sunday. Well, they were messed up, so that was kind of annoying. But yeah, we got some good interviews with Sean Gunn and Michael Rooker from Guardians of the Galaxy. So that was just a bit like awkward.
Yeah, that would have been worse. But you got some great footage.
It looks good. So go on our YouTube channel, check that out. Because they're really funny guys. Michael Rooker's crazy.
Yeah,
so. And we've also been rewatching some of the Marvel films. Still Ready Player One on Monday.
Yes.
Which is pretty intriguing.
So we're going to be doing a review of that later.
Yes, in the next episode. But yeah, that's when we watch as Ant-Man. And I think we're probably going to watch Civil War tonight.
Yeah.
We're trying to watch them all in order, but we don't have some of them, like Doctor Strange.
I'm looking forward to getting back to... Oh, Doctor Strange.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange and... Thor Ragnarok.
Yes. Yeah, we have Thor Ragnarok. We've had it for quite a while.
Yeah.
My dad let us borrow it, and it's been sitting there, and we're like, oh, we so want to watch
it's
this.
It's kind of like the reward for watching some of the other ones. Because they're not all brilliant.
Some of them aren't great.
Generally they're quite good.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Tomb Raider Annihilation.
Let's do it.
So Tomb Raider has been rebooted and landed in UK cinemas on the 14th of March. And this stars Alicia Vikander as Lara Croft, Dominic West as Lord Richard Croft. We got Walton Goggins on villain duty as Matthias Vogel. And the only real other one I've mentioned, probably, is Daniel Wu as Lumen.
Sure.
Also, Nick Frost popped up at one point, which was quite funny. So, the synopsis is, Laura Croft, the fiercely independent daughter of a missing adventurer, must push herself beyond her limits when she finds herself on the island where her father disappeared. So, initial thoughts. Did you enjoy this film? What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I don't think we get many adventure films these days.
No.
I really enjoyed it. And I think it really was quite adventure-y. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was focusing on the adventure rather than kind of the attractiveness of Lara Croft and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I thought the first half of the film was a little bit boring, but then again, I guess it's setting up the rest of the film.
Right.
I enjoyed it when it got to the like action-y, adventure-y part, but there was one thing that did irritate me throughout this film.
Really? What was that?
And I think Alicia Vikander's amazing.
Sure.
But she kept making these noises, and I don't know whether it was because of the game. Don't tell you about this.
Interesting, no.
But she kept I feel like she kept making like really feminine, girly noises, like, ah, sort of thing. And I know it happened in the game, but that it kind of wound me up after a while. And I'm like, you're supposed to be this lead, like, strong female character.
That's interesting.
And yet you're making these annoying,
I think this is
noises.
More based on the recent Tomb Raider games.
Not played it. What's it?
Oh. It takes it back to the start again, I guess. But it makes her more of a, you know, a rugged kind of, she's out there in the wild, living wild with a bow and arrow and stuff like that, rather than the original one where she's just quite rich and runs around with a gun and in really tight, like, short
Croft
shorts and stuff.
Manor. With the butler.
Yeah, yeah, I loved that, man.
That was great. I mean, who didn't lock him into the freezer?
You had to,
right?
Because otherwise you keep following you around. It's really creepy. Every time you turned around, it's like, oh!
I know. Yeah. But yeah, I think you played the latest one, didn't you? Like, briefly.
Briefly, yeah.
Did she get shipwrecked or something?
Oh, I can't remember, to be honest. I'm much more into
island.
The kind of Uncharted games.
Okay.
But this felt like, I feel like the games now, like Uncharted and everything, they actually put the work into making quite a decent story and stuff like that. But we really haven't had that much in the way of films that kind of go down that route lately.
I feel like films missing Indiana Jones at the moment. Like a proper good old action thing. And I feel like the second half of this film was almost that.
I felt like it was pretty much that, except with probably less of the humour.
Yes.
Indiana Jones was quite funny, wasn't it? And this had some funny moments, but I don't think it was quite the same in that regard.
Right, so let's kick it off with cast. So we had Alicia Vikander as Lara Croft. Now, how would you say she was compared to Angelina Jolie?
I think she's much more real.
Yeah.
And that's basically all that matters, to be honest, to me.
Okay.
She seemed more like a real person. Rather than
I thought it was interesting, the story where she wouldn't sign the papers. She was just living like a normal person. And obviously she had money problems and stuff, which was weird. Because, going back to the game, she was like the super rich, like, daddy's girl, wasn't she?
Yeah, and it was just because she didn't want to admit
that her dad was dead.
Correct.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Dominic West as Lord Richard Croft. So we had Lara Croft's dad.
Yeah, I enjoyed his character. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I did quite like Dominic West. I think he plays a British person very well, I would say.
There's a lot of British going on in this.
Yes, definitely a lot of British going on. Walton Goggins was on villain duty.
He's a fantastic bad guy. Like, in anything I've seen him in as a bad guy,
I feel like
he's
kind of underused in this film, though.
I think it was just the right amount of used.
Right.
He came across as very kind of, he was just the guy that was going to just get his way and he was just going to get the thing sorted out. And he was going to kill everyone in his way.
Pretty much.
So,
it
seemed like a good villain.
Sort of standard villain sort of thing.
Yeah, but he oozes villain to me. Ooh. Do you know what I mean?
Oozes. Where else has he been a villain?
I think he was in Justified, wasn't he? The TV show.
Oh, I never really watched that.
And I think some other things. He was in, was he in S.H.I.E.L.D.? TV show as well.
I never watched that either.
He was actually on, I mean, they kind of followed the good guys, but they weren't really good guys. And
I feel like he was in the latest Maze Runner as well.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
Daniel Wu as Lu Ren, who was Lara Croft's sort of boat person, drove the boats, did the navigation.
Yeah, he was cool.
It was alright. Yeah. And Nick Frost, I didn't know he was actually going to be in this film, so
no,
I quite enjoyed
it was like a nice little surprise cameo.
Yeah,
type thing.
There was also another lady, Kristen Scott Thomas, as Anna Miller. She was like the guardian of Lara Croft. Now, do we do spoilers now?
I guess so.
Okay. All right. If you haven't seen it, I think it's worth a watch. Maybe go watch and then come back and listen. So Anna Miller, she was, as I said, she was the guardian of Lara Croft. She was like head of the corporation.
Like CEO type thing or something.
Yeah. She was like handling all the business stuff or and things. Yeah, she was trying to push her to sign the papers to give her the claim of the company, basically. And she kind of came across as, you know, she was only looking out for Lara Croft's well-being.
Right.
She got her out from prison and things. But I don't know, for me, I saw it coming a mile off, that the whole twisteroo at the end.
Yeah, yeah. She seems like that kind
she
of character.
She plays villains quite a lot, exactly. Yeah.
You can always tell a villain, can't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. So let's crack it off with story. What did you think of the story?
Yeah, I really liked it. Just a really nice kind of adventure story. Yeah. And I liked the idea of the Himoku or whatever it was. What was it called? Himoku?
The angry lady. The tomb.
The tomb lady. Okay. I thought it was really interesting. And it was an actual tomb. They were looking for a tomb.
An actual tomb with Tomb Raider.
That they were raiding.
Yes.
She was going there to find out about her dad, though. She wasn't going there because she didn't really care about the thing. But it's kind of setting up her story of how she does this stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
She's found a new calling. I guess that's the whole point in the film is that she finds her calling in this.
Yes.
Pinging
bows and arrows.
She was pretty effective with
bow and arrow. Touché.
It's surprising. I really liked it. I liked how it was kind of like this mystical thing up until it wasn't.
Yes.
You know? I really liked it. Okay, I liked it.
Okay.
What did you think?
I like a good mystery as well. Because I love the whole like Chinese puzzles and things. Mm. They like drip fed you these clues along the way and you had
it's
to kind
nice
of work
to have that
it out.
In a adventure.
In a blockbuster.
Kind of film.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that they found the pyramid and they had to work out all the like all the booby traps and things. And I was like, oh, I love that scene was really good. I actually really enjoyed that scene. It felt very Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
I love that film. So I loved it when they got to the tomb and then they actually found out, oh, she's actually got a disease. Was she a carrier?
She's a carrier of like a disease and the bad guys, Trinity or whatever it was, were just trying to get a sample of it so they could obviously sell it as a biological weapon or something like that. So yeah, that was cool.
I liked how they uncovered that there was this Trinity Corporation and that actually her dad's corporation owned this bad egg sort of thing. So now she owns the company and she's kind of going on adventures to find where they're going and stop them, I presume.
So she's like the whistleblower. She's going to get in there and sort it out.
I think so. Okay, yeah. And I loved the bit at the end. I thought that was great. So she went back to buy a necklace back from her mum, the jade one. That was actually made in the UK by a designer. I thought that was quite interesting. Jewelry designer in the UK. Touché. Yeah, she went to buy back her necklace from the pawnbroker, aka Nick Frost, who was very funny. And then she found out that they were, like, selling illegal arms. She was like, oh. And then the lady was like, trying to see my favourite. And she's like, it's this gun. I can't remember what it is, but it's obviously the one from the game. And she's like, I'll take two. And they're like, oh, she got her guns.
I was a bit annoyed at that bit. Because it's
really?
Like, it's clearly London.
Right.
And they're selling guns.
Well,
it's such an American thing.
Like,
why do they have to put their crap on us all the
time?
Yeah, no, that's true. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, rounding this off, how would you rate this film then, Chris?
I would give it 2 thumbs up. I really enjoyed it.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I think it could have been like a little bit better or so, but you know, or stuff.
Right.
I think it could have been better in places, but it was generally pretty good. I enjoyed it.
I feel like it suffered with the whole origins bit at the start. Because they had to reintroduce the character again.
I enjoyed the start. I thought it was fine. Okay. I liked the building of the story.
I know,
and stuff.
But I want to see the tombs and I want to see the puzzles and things.
I prefer to have it lead into it properly than just rush into it personally.
Okay. But yeah, I think I'll probably give it a 1 or 1.5 because I did enjoy it, but I thought it was quite, some parts were quite generic.
Yeah.
And yeah, slight pacing issues, slight origin issues and things. But I thought Alicia Vikander was great. Rest of the cast were great. It looked fantastic. I loved the island they were on. I loved all the puzzles and stuff and the tomb raiding. So, yeah, I think I would recommend this film.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we just watched Annihilation on UK Netflix.
Yes.
So this is an adventure drama fantasy.
Really?
Interesting.
I would say sci-fi horror.
I mean, this is the kind of film where I feel like this is the kind of problem film where...
Problem film?
Yeah, where they lump sci-fi in with fantasy. It's like sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah. I definitely call it adventure.
I wouldn't really call it adventure. I wouldn't... I mean, it was dramatic, but I wouldn't call it a drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a sci-fi fantasy. I don't like that because I like the idea of sci-fi being separate from fantasy. But in this case, it kind of is. So, and it got 7.2 on IMDb, which is interesting.
Okay, interesting.
But yeah, released on 12th March 2018 in the UK, and it is directed by Alex Garland.
Yes, who has previously done Ex Machina.
Yep.
Machina? Which is also very good.
Yes, good film. I really enjoyed that one.
Very thinky film. Also stars Alicia Vikander and Jason Isaacs.
Yes, and the synopsis for this film is, a biologist signs up for a dangerous secret expedition into a mysterious zone where the laws of nature don't apply.
Okay.
So what are your initial feelings of this film while you were watching this film?
Many emotions, many feelings.
Sure.
Much confusion.
Yeah.
I feel like this film tried to be a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which is why I was getting confused.
Yeah, it had a lot of messages? Feelings of certain different films.
Yeah.
While you're watching it, you're thinking,
yeah, I definitely
this
thought,
reminds me of like Alien.
Alien, yeah. Arrival, yeah. Space 2001.
Yeah, there were a lot of things.
The Fountain for you?
For me, I was just thinking The Fountain. It really reminds me of The Fountain.
Mm.
We'll go on to talk about that. But okay. Yeah, continue.
Oh, thank you. So I feel like it was one of those films that was trying to be more clever than it actually was.
I agree.
I feel like it had definitely mixed messages as well. On the one hand, you had this thing called The Shimmer, right?
Yeah.
So The Shimmer...
Which is a cool name.
Yeah, I like that name. Yeah. It's pretty cool. The Shimmer crash landed on Earth and basically they kind of cornered off an area of... can't remember where. An area in America. And there were lots of things mutating in this area.
Mm.
And it originated from this lighthouse.
Yes.
And they basically tried to go in to find out the origins and to try and stop this Shimmer thingamabobby. Yeah, find out...
And...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because a lot of teams have gone in and they've never returned. So,
yes.
So a group of these biologists,
scientists, soldiers,
went in to try and crack the code of the ship, basically.
A number of teams. Correct.
Okay. We're on the same level now.
Okay,
right?
Good. Yeah. Good.
Okay. So on the one hand, it was mutating some creatures.
Mm.
But on the other hand, it was growing these really, really nice flowers and these nice habitats and things and getting rid of humans at the same time. So for me, it had a mixed message.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was entirely confused.
Yeah. It was like, what are you trying to say? On the one hand, you're trying to say like... Because right at the start, Natalie Portman's character, she's like a biologist or something. She was teaching about the cells, cancerous cells, and how they replicate cells but then break them down or something.
Sure.
So a lot of people think, have gathered that this film's like about cancer because it's replicating people, but they're not quite the same and they're killing them and stuff. But I feel like it's growing these really beautiful habitats at the same time, and these flowers are wonderful and things.
For me,
so
it was kind of like I don't know what the word is, but it's kind of like it's just like nature, right?
Yeah,
this is what nature does. It creates amazing, beautiful things, but it also creates horrible, nightmarish things that eat each other and murder each other.
Yes,
you know. So it's kind of it just felt like that to me. Like it was a very attractive place, but also a very dangerous place, and it just felt like nature on steroids. Kind of like if we'd gone back to being cavemen again.
I feel like it had a lot of mixed messages. It didn't quite know where it was going. I did enjoy the film. I thought it visually looked amazing. It was stunning. The performances were fantastic. It had some great body horror in it, which I didn't enjoy. There were some scares in there as well, which I could appreciate. It would have been better seeing it on a big screen, possibly. The ending didn't grab me. I feel like it was leading you somewhere and it didn't quite reach the heights that it was promising.
Mm.
And for that, it kind of annoyed me and it felt a bit of a cop out. So, yeah.
Okay.
You?
Yeah, I felt like at the start of the film, it was kind of saying, like, there's this thing and we're not sure if it's, like, a religious event or a scientific event.
Mm.
But they came at it from a very scientific perspective, which is okay. So I was feeling like this is pretty sci-fi, right?
Mm.
They're trying to work out what this thing is and how to deal with it. And so they're sending in these teams, okay? But they seem to send them in and then just kind of like get to the lighthouse and find what's going on.
Yeah.
But they keep losing multiple teams or something.
Yeah.
So after you lose the first team, I'd be like, okay, maybe just send a team in to come straight back out.
Yeah.
And let us know what's actually going on in there. And right. As soon as they don't come straight back out, you don't send any more teams.
Yeah.
Because you know as soon as you go in, you're dead.
Yeah. Right? It sounded like they sent multiple teams in there.
Yeah. It's not a very good scientific strategy. So no. That started to ring alarm bells for me. Okay. Right. Then there's things like they start bringing up refraction. Like refraction is a scientific thing.
Okay.
But you can't apply it to DNA. Okay.
Yeah, that bothered me.
It's because the DNA is refracting. No. I'm sorry, but yeah. No. It's the DNA does not act like waves. It's not like light. It doesn't work like that. So immediately you start to realize, okay, it's not as intelligent as it claims to be.
Yeah.
Right. And it is claiming to be an intelligent film.
Yes.
And in that sense, it kind of does remind me of The Fountain. The first time I watched The Fountain, I absolutely hated it. The second time, I actually didn't mind it. And this, right. I enjoyed. I enjoyed Annihilation. I was enjoying it, watching it. But you have to understand that it doesn't necessarily know what it's talking about.
Yeah.
I think
that's one of the problems, yeah.
And I think, I don't know if I don't know if it even claims to know what it's talking about. Well, it just kind of throws some ideas out there and wants you to come up with your own opinion on it, which I don't mind. I kind of like that in a film, to kind of make my own opinion of it.
Yeah.
But I just felt like.
I feel like they had all these ideas and they tried to stick them all in.
Yeah,
but
and there
were
some good ideas in there.
Yeah,
I really like the idea of the shimmer and stuff like that. And the lighthouse was cool.
Yes.
And it had some very cool
elements,
and I did enjoy the adventure.
The problem is, it was actually based on a book.
Okay.
So they should know, but apparently they changed a whole load of it, so there wasn't
That's
actually...
That's the issue.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about this in our next episode with Ready Player One.
Yes.
But you can never trust a film adaptation
no,
of a
no,
book,
I know.
Can you? So
it does worry me.
You always have to read the book first,
yes.
I think.
Mm. So, spoiler warning now. I'm sure we've already talked about spoilers, but from here on out, we will be spoiling everything.
Yes.
Yes. So, that ending, hey?
Yes. It got a bit weird. I mean, it was already weird. But it got weirder. Yeah. Or maybe not.
Yep, true. I was a bit confused. So, we had different stages, basically. So, I just found it a bit weird how once they crossed the shimmer, they kind of lost all sense of time.
I think, I don't know what they were trying to say there, but I feel like maybe at that point they'd already been copied.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, that's a possibility. They didn't really go into any details. There's no way of knowing for sure. But I feel like at that point, maybe they were already copied and they were already kind of duplicates of themselves. And then it was kind of like a test to see who could get to the lighthouse.
What, who was the strongest?
Something like that. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Who knows, honestly.
So yeah, once they got past the shimmer, they were like, oh, how long have we been here? Looking at our rations, it's been about 3 days. I was like, okay.
And then nobody worried about it.
Yeah,
they lost their memory for 3 days, but that's fine.
We'll just continue our
mission.
Okay. And then the further on they went towards the lighthouse, the more bizarre things got. So we had the like mutated crocodile who was kind of normalish until you realised there were like shark teeth.
Yeah, it was a crocodile with shark teeth, which I don't think is entirely necessary because a crocodile is scary enough, isn't it?
Exactly.
It was a big crocodile, to be fair.
Yeah. And then they stumbled across the old party before them with Kane, her husband, and how basically they had been infected by this thing.
Yeah, or their genes were being mutated in some way.
Yeah.
Or their mental state was being modified in some way.
Right. Something was happening.
Something was happening.
Yeah. But then they found a recording and they watched it and it was one of the most creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was
ever. That was very alien.
They cut the guy open and his like intestines were moving around.
Yeah.
Like a snake
or
something.
I don't know what was going on there. It didn't quite fit what was going on with the other mutations, so that rang alarm bells.
I think it was just like things are mutating randomly. It was like, it was almost like Darwinian evolution, but in fast forward.
Yes, like, it was happening very fast, though.
Yeah,
which
like
is the
intestines
thing.
Were individually turning into new creatures rather
which
than...
Which is weird. But then you saw that guy had exploded across the wall, and it was basically this, like, flora that had come out of him.
Yeah.
It was just
that. Like all this kind of plant DNA and human DNA and animal DNA all kind of merging. And that animal, that bear thing.
Yes.
That was screaming in that lady's voice. That was really creepy, but very
that
clever.
Got me, honestly.
I kind of thought that was quite
that
nice
whole idea. Scene was fantastic, but also very disturbing.
Yeah.
I was listening to, if you haven't heard it, Ben and Nate from Nerd Chatting have also done a really, really good review on this. And Ben was saying that he didn't feel like this was a horror. And he didn't get scared. And, well, maybe not a complete horror, but he didn't really get scared. And I was like, when I was watching this, I was like, this is so creepy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the kind of horror that really scares me.
Okay.
But it was definitely creepy.
Wait, it was the suspense. I mean, the bear came right up to them, nothing. And then, you heard the screaming and that lady ran off to try and help a friend. And it was actually the bear with her death scream. And, freaky. And the bear had a smushed face. It was a skeletal face.
Yeah.
Just amazing, amazing, designs in this film, I think. Mm. Okay, so they got to the lighthouse.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just that whole entire scene, I was watching it and I was just thinking, what is happening?
Yeah. No, I didn't even attempt to try and explain it to you.
No.
The film started off very much kind of taking it from a scientific perspective of we're going to work out what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
By the end, it was just like, nope, we have no idea.
Yeah.
So we're not even going to try and find out. Yeah. We're going to go with it and then we're just going to, that's it.
Yeah. So what happened in the lighthouse? I just can't work out, really.
No, it was like a mirror thing, wasn't it? It was mirroring her or she was mirroring it and we don't really know.
Yeah, I just found it a bit weird that the whole shimmer alien thing was actually like a ball of energy. Visually, it just didn't work for me. You know, when she went down in the hole and there was that...
Oh, I liked that thing. It seemed... Because that seemed a bit more sci-fi. It seemed like it was an extra dimensional thing, it was from the fourth dimension or something, where its shape doesn't quite make sense in our world. It's constantly shifting and changing. Yeah. It's kind of interesting.
It just, when I saw that, I just instantly thought Space 2001.
Yeah.
There were that whole trippy scene right at the end.
Yeah.
I saw that and was like, no.
Yeah, I like that kind of thing. But then immediately it's shifting straight back into something quite a lot more metaphorical.
Yes.
And it's just shifting back and forth and it's like, what?
what?
Question mark. Yeah.
I just thought it was... So the main thing that confused me was what was the purpose of the shimmer? What was it trying to do? What was it trying to achieve?
No, I don't think it was... In the end, I don't think they had an idea, a solid idea of what it was supposed to be or what it was or anything. I think it was supposed to be like a metaphor and you're supposed to come up with your own kind of conclusions about what's going on. I think it's one of those type of films.
Right.
Where you have to decide what you think is going on.
Yeah.
Which I like. I think that's fine, but it's a little bit... I mean, I like things like The Matrix and stuff. They're not set in stone. They have a lot of messages and stuff for you to kind of discover and internalize on your own. But this is very, very out there.
Super out there.
And it's hard. It's hard to...
Yeah, it's a very, very deep film.
But
it's a very brave film.
It's kind of like one of those deepities. You know, like a deepity?
What's a deepity?
It's one of those things where it's like, it sounds deep, but it actually isn't deep at all. Like, they have no idea what's going on. Right. It's kind of like with Battlestar Galactica or Lost.
Oh, geez.
Or something like that. Where they kind of suggest that they know what's happening. And then you get to the end and you realize, oh, shit, they have no idea.
Along the way.
They were just writing this as they were going.
Yeah.
They had no idea what was going to happen at the end.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I see this film. I did enjoy it. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it as I was watching it. But I don't take anything from it that I thought was particularly deep. I thought it was probably kind of surface level, but suggesting that there was deeper stuff going on. Maybe you got something from it. I think that's fine, you know, but tell me because I don't understand it. So
I feel like the ending was like one of those super open endings. Like Kane was clearly like one of the copies. She seemed like she was the one who came through it, but she'd already been infected. So she
had the glowy eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So... what are they going to do now? Are they going to make glowy-eyed offspring?
Yeah, that's the
thing. What's the purpose? What's the point?
Was the whole point that they introduced their genome into our society and they wanted two people that somehow were compatible and so they were trying to find compatible people to...
Maybe.
...introduce the genome?
Mm. Yes,
maybe.
But then two people is not a viable number.
Yeah. I mean, you only need one mutation, but you need very successful. Yeah, it doesn't.
From a scientific standpoint, this is not sound.
No, but I mean, you could introduce a single mutation into a gene pool.
Okay.
But it would require something bigger than... I mean, you'd need for the whole... You'd need like a big ice age or something to really whittle down the society. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the world is still the world. Everyone's just going on with life normal.
Yeah.
And then they've introduced these two people with this one gene or whatever.
Mm.
Or this set of genes. And they're trying to... That doesn't... Yeah, you're right. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like... There needs to be a much smaller gene pool in order for that to work.
To spread, yeah.
Yeah. It was very strange.
Anyway, you scientists out there who are listening, please let us know.
Yeah.
If this is a sound scientific film. Which it probably isn't. But yeah, let's round this off because we've been talking about this for quite a while now.
Yeah.
How would you rate this film then, Chris?
I give it one thumbs up. I actually really enjoyed it. I don't know if there was any meaning to it. Right. I don't know if we were supposed to find our own meaning or if they intended there to be some meaning. But regardless, I did enjoy it. I thought it was good. Okay. I enjoyed the shimmer. I enjoyed the kind of the progression, the story progression stuff. The end was a bit like, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. But whatever. What about you?
Okay. Yeah, I have very similar feelings. I feel like visually it looked amazing. I enjoyed the journey, but I didn't quite enjoy the destination.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it just had very mixed messages because on the one hand, it was like this horrible bear, but on the other hand, it was these like beautiful deers with the flower antlers and things.
The flower people and things.
And the flower people. Yeah. So
and it was all supposed to be one organism, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, and like a new biome and things. And I just... I feel like it had ideas, but it didn't quite live up to fruition.
That's a good message, guys. Yeah. Ideas are easy, but...
Tangible, cohesive...
A cohesive result is hard,
okay?
You can come up with ideas all the time, but you have to actually follow through.
Yes.
With a solution that works. So.
Yeah, please. I just found it quite... I was a bit irritated by the end. I know it's all like, la-di-da, it's up to you, what do you think? But I kind of want to be told... When you've been through all this journey about science and things, I want to find out about the shimmer, what it is, what it's trying to do. And you didn't give me that. You didn't give me that.
I feel like I'm the opposite there. I don't mind not finding out specifics, but I want to feel like it knew what it was doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I want to feel like, okay, that was clever.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced that that was clever. So... Yes.
Yes. Okay, so after that, we would give this a one thumbs up rating.
Yes.
Let us know what your theories were, because I'm always really intrigued in theories and what the hell this film was going on about.
We need to know, guys.
We need to know. So this week, we're joined by special guest Byron Mann, who's previously been in Alter Carbon.
OG Kovac.
Yes. What is OG?
I'm not really sure. Original something,
yeah.
I think.
He was the first Kovac on screen. He was in that amazing shot, right at the start with
the Praetorians and the lady.
Yeah. And it was just crazy.
It was pretty crazy.
Explosive.
Awesome. Yeah,
really, really good. He's previously been in Arrow as Yao Fei. He was the guy who actually taught.
Arrow?
I'm trying to remember his name.
Oliver Queen. How can I remember that new
name? I know, sorry. Gosh, I have my geek card in now. Anyway, he was the one who taught...
Oliver Queen.
Wow.
Okay.
He was the one who taught Oliver Queen how to use a bow and arrow and how to fight on the island. And
yes.
Survival skills, basically. Also, he's going to be in Skyscraper pretty soon with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah,
which looks pretty good. I think he's the chief of police, so that could be quite interesting.
Okay.
Another sort of diehard mirror.
Yeah, for sure.
So he talks all about stunts, all about his previous work, and a lot about Alter Carbon.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen Alter Carbon, there may be spoilers, but I really hope you enjoy this interview.
Watch Alter Carbon, it's amazing.
Welcome special guest Byron Mann, who's most recently been in Altered Carbon. So, well done on that series. It was absolutely amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it was quite a show to work on.
Yeah. So how did you actually get involved with Altered Carbon?
Well, pretty much through the normal casting process. The you know, I got the script and you know, met with some of the casting people, and yeah, it's pretty normal casting process. And then it was actually through a series of months actually that you know, that the process took you know, about like 2 or 3 months. Yeah, so yeah.
So it wasn't like top secret or anything.
It was actually top secret. Oh, okay. So in the sense that there was very little information about it, which is kind of normal actually for a lot of projects now, you know, because they don't want people disseminating the information on social media or whatever. So it was so I knew very little about this. I just knew it was with Netflix and science fiction, and that's about it. Yeah.
Oh wow, okay. So did you get to read the book at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, when I started filming, I actually asked Lita Kalogridis, who is the showrunner, the creator of the show, and I asked her, should I read the book? She said no, you know, better to not read it because it's, you know, it's quite dense, and there are some departures, you know, from the show to the book that, you know, it's, we're gonna take some creative licenses here and there. So yeah, it was just based on the script. Yeah.
So we had that amazing, impressive opening sequence, very explosive. How long did that take to film?
That took about 2 weeks, and which is very, you know, just to give you some scale or some perspective, you know, a normal television show takes about 7 to 8 days to shoot. A pilot, you know, the first episode sometimes could take, you know, 15 days. Yeah. So this one took about 30 days to shoot the entire first episode. And it was actually shot by a director. His name is Miguel Sapochnik. He's actually from England. And he actually won the Emmy last year for Game of Thrones, you know, Battle of the Bastards.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he's a brilliant director. And he was very specific and exacting in what he wanted. And so it was a very big sequence. It was a very important sequence because it starts off the entire series. And you want, you know, in this sequence, you want to see or catch a real glimpse of Takashi Kovacs' past and his prowess, you know, the fighting, all of that, right? You want to set it up, and then you want to figure out, like, wow, who is this guy, right? So we needed to achieve a certain tone. So we rehearsed probably about 2 months going, you know, leading up to the shooting day, all the action, the fighting. It was a very, it was for a television series, it was, or a streaming series, you know, it was as detailed and as prepared as I've ever experienced.
Yeah, definitely. So how much of it did you actually get to do yourself?
I did pretty much everything myself. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So even the explosion, and so you did all the fight sequences as well?
Most of it. I mean, there was I had a really good stunt double for some really dangerous stuff, you know, for example, the explosion. But it was just, you know, you catch a nanosecond of it, you know, like zapping, pulling back. That's kind of dangerous, right? So I'm actually surprised I never get injured. I never got injured shooting this sequence. Yeah. But it was a really, how should I describe it? It was really exciting to be a part of because everyone had the idea, had the notion that we were achieving something kind of groundbreaking. We just had no idea how groundbreaking this would be.
Yeah.
But we had an idea that this was very high caliber stuff. So, yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. And it's had such a great reception to the series. Everyone's talking about, because obviously there's like 3 books in the series.
That's right, yeah.
So if you a second series, if Netflix says yes, which fingers crossed they do, would you be willing to come back for some more flashback?
Oh, I'm very happy to. Yeah, I'd be delighted. But of course, you know, it's a little too early to say right now because I don't think it's been greenlit yet. And then I think Lita Kalogridis has to really, you know, sit down with Richard Morgan and figure out how to proceed because it's, as I understand, second and third book is quite, you know, big. You know, there's like battles and wars between, you know, Mars and stuff. So This one is going to be, they're going to have to sit down first. And so nobody knows. But if they asked, I'd be delighted.
Yeah, that's fair. So talking about flashbacks, go to your experience on Arrow. Yao Fei, seemed like, like a really hands-on role. How was that?
Well, that's right. I didn't even think about that. That was actually a flashback. I'm like the flashback king.
You are.
look, I mean, you know, when I was filming that, I was actually, you know, again, it was the first season and, you know, the show hadn't aired yet, right? So just like Altered Carbon, nobody knew what this thing was. All I knew was I was going to be on this island with Stephen Amell, who plays Arrow. And pretty much that was my whole season. I was stuck on an island, so to speak.
Yeah.
With them for the entire season. I didn't see another cast member, you know, for the whole season. So I was just like going to work every day. Okay, I'm going to be in these bushes or this cave or this thing, you know, with Steven again, you know, that was it. So I didn't think much about it until, I mean, I was really surprised, to tell you the truth, that the show became such a cult favorite, right? Especially among fans and audiences. So that's, again, you know, as an actor, you film something and the show comes out like 9 months later, right? Or 6 months
true.
Later.
Yeah.
So you have, there's a little time you have to understand from an actor's perspective. It's like, oh, okay. Wow. That's amazing. I had no idea.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's gone on to do so much different things, Arrow, but you still get the flashback. So, I mean, your role was quite That's important right. in that respect, really, wasn't it? You kind of started the whole thing.
That's right. Yeah. I actually came back last season five, I believe. Yeah, season five, and had one more flashback with him, you know, an encounter with Stephen. I don't know if you know that. Season five, I came back. It was like in his dreams or something. Yeah. So urging him on.
Yeah. So you're about to start in Skyscraper with Dwayne Johnson. Is there anything you can tell us about that at all?
I've actually finished filming, obviously, because the film is coming out in July, July 13th to be exact. So it's a big summer tentpole movie. It's basically, I'll tell you the storyline. Dwayne Johnson's family is trapped in the tallest building in the world, and it's set in Hong Kong, and he has to save them by climbing from outside the building. Okay.
Yeah.
So there are terrorists involved, there are murders involved. I play the chief of Hong Kong police who needs to figure out who this person is, meaning Dwayne Johnson. And eventually, you know, whether to kill him or to save him or to work with him, et cetera, then, you know, you have to see the rest of the movie.
So what was it like working with The Rock?
It was good. It was great. I didn't have a lot of scenes with him. Actually, our scenes run parallel to each other.
Okay.
So we actually meet at the very end. But he's great. He's very hardworking. He's very nice and, you know, great actor. So it's quite a nice experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think of the whole comparisons to Die Hard with this film?
Well, this is kind of like Die Hard meets Tower Inferno.
Ah.
All right. So there's fire and there's, you know, there's the Die Hard aspect to it. So it's several things in one. But there's definitely new wrinkles that you'll be surprised with. So it's not just Die Hard. Yeah.
Okay. So last one. Are you working on anything else at the moment that we can look forward to?
Well, I'm in talks on several projects right now. So I'm actually taking a rest. So, cause I'm doing some PR right now. So, probably in a couple of weeks, there may be some announcements, and so I'll let you know then.
Okay. That's great. So if anyone wants to find you on social media, what are you most active on?
So I'm on both Twitter, which is, Byron_man, MANN. And then I'm on Instagram, which is ByronMan1.
Okay, so we've got to basically look out on your social media for a couple of weeks to see if anything pops up.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, please add me and we'll keep up, you know, the dialogue there. Yeah,
that's great. Thank you so much. for this week's Hulk topics, I asked you guys on Twitter. We're going to be discussing the future of cinema as more and more films are heading straight to Netflix. For example, Mute and Annihilation, which you've just reviewed. Mm-hmm. So let us know where you prefer to watch films. So do you want to say your thing first, or should we reveal the results of the poll?
So what do we think? Yeah, for me, it's more like Netflix, really. I like going to the cinema sometimes.
Sometimes.
But generally just when there's no one else in there.
Yeah, you kind of have to drag Chris out to the cinema.
Yeah, because there's so many experiences I've had where I've just been annoyed by something. So
yeah, Chris is one of these people that hates the sound of people eating.
Yes.
So that's kind of misophonia,
they call it.
I don't know if I
actually have that, but it certainly annoys me.
Yeah.
So popcorn and
crisps.
And loud breathing.
Yeah. Basically anything.
Yeah.
People living annoys you.
Yeah.
For me, it depends really, I think, on the film. Because, for example, Dunkirk, I feel like that was an experience you had to see at the cinema because of the whole sound. And just, yeah, it was just a proper experience. And like Star Wars, I don't feel like you could watch that properly on a big screen. Blade Runner 2049, even though it was a super assault on the senses, I feel like that, again, you had to see at the cinema because it was just such a spectacle.
Maybe. I think VR is going to become a bigger thing, right? And you know, with those headsets, you can like view, it looks like you're actually in the cinema.
Oh,
the big
no, I don't know if I could deal with that. I'd probably be sick everywhere. Really? too much. But yeah, I love being, I like watching things at home because you're in your own, you're in your own home. You can wear your pyjamas. You can look as shit as you want.
Yeah, you can go get food at any point. Yeah. Go to the toilet whenever you fancy.
Definitely. And I think, like, for the main downfall with me with cinemas is the audience. And they just really annoy me. In one screening I saw, there was one, a family with a very, very young baby.
Mm.
And they brought their own picnic, which included crisps, which I could hear every time they were opening it. Someone behind me fell asleep and I could hear them snoring. And there was another person on the phone. They couldn't work out how to turn the light off their phone because they'd just taken a call. They come back in and they had the light on to see where their seat was and they couldn't work out how to turn it off. And I was like, oh, this is the worst screening ever.
Rude.
So I feel like the best thing to do is to go like in a weekday at like 12 o'clock, and it's absolutely delightful when you're by yourself.
That'd be pretty cool if you weren't working because you could just go do things when people are at work, right?
Yeah. I used to have days off in the week and it was bliss going to the cinema.
Yeah. That
sounds
good, actually.
So,
results,
yes. Drum roll, please. Unsurprisingly, with 72% of the votes at the cinema, of course, won.
Yes.
Close, well, not closely followed by 25% at home on Netflix/Amazon Prime. So
one in four people. One in four people. Think.
Yeah. And then 3% other, but they never told me what the other was. I'm like, well, what do you mean?
Other, on airplanes.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Maybe. On tablets and phones. Oh, no. No. Yeah. So let's quickly run through some of these comments because we got this this sparked a lot of debate in people. So Seb Reeves and the real Mr. Seb said, I love watching films, and so the answer is actually anywhere. However, watching a film at the cinema is more than just a film, it is an experience. And if I could afford to go more, often I would.
That's true, actually. And sometimes you do go to the cinema and you get a really great experience, don't you? Like, you get the good crowd.
Yeah.
And everyone's having a laugh. And it's like, you get that a lot with like comedies and stuff.
Yeah, I feel like Ready Player One, that was a good audience as well.
Was it? Okay. There was some laughs, yeah.
Yeah.
But I wasn't laughing.
You were annoyed by the mouth breather next to you.
Yeah, exactly. So Jim Bob Squarepants at Vintage GT said one word, Dunkirk, all in all caps.
Yes.
One of the finest cinematic experiences I've ever had. It blew my mind on IMAX. Still good at home, but nothing like the cinema. 2049 is the same as you say.
Agree.
Yeah, still haven't seen Dunkirk.
No, I know, but I feel like the time has passed
it.
Now. Yeah,
you've maybe it'll be on like the Prince Charles or something like that.
Maybe.
They do summary runs and stuff, don't they?
Two Eyes One Screen at Two Eyes One Screen said, it all depends. If the film is poor, then I don't mind watching it on a TV. But for example, like Annihilation, I wished it had a cinema release in the UK. Overall, I like going to cinema for the full experience. And then we went on to talk about the bear scene. Would have been terrifying to see in the cinema.
Sure. hearing that voice.
Horrible.
False Starts podcast at False Starts Pod said, I prefer, in quotes, the cinema, but it will be at home until the chain multiplexes start caring about presentation again, until audiences can be respectful of others, until it is value for money improves. I'll be trying to steer clear of the cinema. Yeah, wow. That's kind of how I feel. I mean, we went to that cinema nearby, didn't we? I think there was one nearby, it was like a deluxe cinema or something. We obviously have the subscriptions for Cineworld.
Okay.
But we went to that fancy cinema and it had really nice big seats, lots of leg room, stuff like that.
Oh, it'd be right, nice showcase if
it was more of a deluxe experience rather than just feeling like you're crammed into like little seats and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So Geeky Nerd at One Geeky Nerd said, I chose the first, but it really depends. Sorry about that, Gordon. they're movies that you really lose a lot of the experience when watched at home, unless you have a state-of-the-art little cinema there. I wish.
Yeah.
Great. <that'd> be cool. Because of amazing cinematography or sound, or because they're intended for IMAX viewing. Actually, I haven't seen an IMAX film for ages now. I think the only ones I've really seen are the BFI. I mean, the Waterloo one, sorry.
Yeah. That's another one where you kind of cramped in.
Yeah. Not at all.
Ken Major at Ken Major 83 said, ideally at the cinema, it gives me something to look forward to after a week at work. But that's thanks to an unlimited card. Couldn't justify £11 a time. Also, I can't go on weekends, so midweek release, also heading to streaming, Black Panther on Tuesday. I'd watch at home.
Okay. Yeah, I think if I didn't have an unlimited card, I definitely wouldn't go, because it's just like super expensive now, isn't it? Especially if you buy the popcorn and the drinks to go on top.
I mean, maybe if it's like an occasion and you go to one where you have the nice seats and everything, that could be a thing. You know, but probably not usually.
So Jack and the Geek Talk at Jack Geek Talk said, prefer cinema, Peter Cinema? I'm going with prefer?
Sure, sure.
Definitely, but the cost and the number of films I want to see don't make it cheap. I want the big releases at the cinema, everything else I wait to stream.
Yeah, I mean, we've been renting some, haven't we, lately?
Yeah,
some releases and stuff.
Yeah, that we've missed.
It's just convenient, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good. Popcorn and Pop Culture at Podcast Popcorn says, all my memorable cinematic experiences have been at theatres, even if it's not a big budget film where surround sound and IMAX screens enhance your viewing pleasure. Just the fact that you are out and away from distractions make movie theaters ideal.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess if you have a lot of distractions at home and stuff.
Yeah, you tend to sit there and look at your phone for quite a lot of it.
If you have kids and stuff running around, that could be a situation. So, yeah.
And one of the more controversial comments. So, we've got Robert List at Robert List 13. Netflix and Sky will destroy the cinema industry. Thousands of people will lose their jobs. Obviously, some people who want this do not care about unemployment rising.
I think when you see jobs going away like that, there's always going to be somewhere else where jobs increase. It kind of balances out, I think.
Well, I feel like it's the cinema's fault for putting prices so high and charging such, like, you're driving away certain customers, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I think Cineworld have got the right idea, because on, I think it's Saturday morning, so you got movies for juniors, so I think it's like a couple of pounds and then you can go and take your kid to see one of these kiddie films, and I think that's quite a nice idea.
Yeah.
So it's up to the cinema chains, really, I think, going forward.
Yeah, I think a lot of them will just go to the kind of Cineworld subscription model.
Yeah.
As well, because they make quite a lot out of you. I mean, no one used to, I never used to go like once a month, let alone, you know. And so now they're getting multiple movies of money out of me a month, right. Essentially. Like at least two or three, right?
Mm.
So they've worked it out. They're not idiots. You know?
So thank you so much for everyone that commented and voted in our poll.
Yeah, let us know if you enjoy Hulk topics.
Yeah.
And what Hulk topics you would like to come up.
Thank you so much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us to let us know your annihilation theories, because I'm dying to know everyone else's, then how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
You can contact us on wehavehulkpod@gmail.com.
Yes.
With a Gmail email.
Gmail email.
Send us an email on a Gmail. You can also get in touch with us Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yep.
/wehavehulkpod. And we're on youtube.com/wehavehulk.
Yeah, so if you want to watch any of those interviews from MCM Comic Con, just head to our YouTube channel where you can
Sean Gunn.
Watch to your delight and
Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker, yes. And also David Finch.
Cool.
Mm. Artist. Mm. Yes. Also, if you want to check out the latest news, head to our website at wehaveahawk.co.uk. That's updated daily, if I'm not super busy.
Daily, possibly.
Possibly daily. Bi-daily. Is bi-daily, is that even a thing?
Bi-daily would be twice daily, wouldn't it?
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, who knows?
Twice weekly, bi-weekly.
Maybe. Anyway, bi-weekly. So next episode, we have got Ready Player One review.
Ready Player One review. Woo!
So we saw the Cineworld Unlimited screening, and we have many thoughts and feelings on this film.
Yeah.
That we would like to share.
There's a very nasal guy next to me.
We didn't. You've never been let that down, are you? And also, Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yes.
Which might be quite interesting because, I mean, I enjoyed the first one.
It was right.
Yeah. You know what you're getting with these films, right? Yeah, you get robots fighting monsters and things.
Robots fighting monsters, yeah, guys. Pretty much. I mean, it's a monster film, I guess.
Yeah.
That's actually probably one of my favourite monster films.
Really?
Like one of those big monster films, you know? Like, I didn't really enjoy Kong and stuff. Anyway, Sorry.
Sorry, babbling on. So once again, thank you so much for listening, and we really hope you join us for next week's episode.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye.